This podcast is made possible by thousands of dedicated listeners just like you. Be a part of this powerful three-decade legacy of evangelization by visiting materdeiradio.com or downloading the Hail Mary media app. And thank you for joining us on the bridge between your faith and everyday life.
Bringing you a common sense and fresh perspective to creating a just society. This is Common Sense on Social Justice. You'll get equipped with the tools you need to carry out social justice right where you are. Now, here's the host of Common Sense on Social Justice, Michael Davis.
Thank you so much for joining us again today as we adventure together to create a just society right where we are. Today, we're beginning a two-part mini-series on immigration. Immigration has, you know, and the refugee crisis in the world is a hot-button issue. From those on the right who want the southern border of the United States to be shut down and want, quote, illegals deported, to those on the left wanting a wide-open southern U.S. border while closing and defending the Ukrainian border, it's a mess, no matter how you look at it. And I recently took a vacation, traveled back to the Midwest to see family, and there was, of course, people all over the place with Trump supporting signs and even on the freeway overpasses. And there was a lot of people who were speaking to me without asking what I do for a living, asking me what my ministry was. They just said, hey, we want all these illegals deported and sent back to the country they came from. And then they would ask me what I do and where I work, and I would have to sheepishly, in a way, yet try to be bold in saying what I do and hopefully to educate some people. Come home to the West Coast, of course, people here, let's just let everybody in, and it creates chaos that way too. So what do we do to bring everything back into balance? How do we achieve the right way, and what is the right way to handle the immigration and refugee crisis we have not just in the United States, but all over the world? Well, fortunately, the Bible and Holy Mother Church gives us the answers to that. We'll be looking at some biblical text on immigration, and we'll be looking at especially Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 18, using that as our springboard, and we'll be looking at what the church teaches around immigration and some official documents to get some perspective on how we are to address the stranger among us. We're going to look today not so much at immigration from a Democrat perspective or a Republican perspective or even the churches. What we're doing is stepping back and taking a look at immigration from God's perspective in this passage, because really God's perspective is the only perspective. Now, I want to read to you from Deuteronomy chapter 10 to give you some context, and then read this particular chapter, verse 18, and we'll be looking at verse 19 as well. But what's happened is, of course, God gives Moses the Ten Commandments in Exodus 20, and the people had, Moses had been up for, I believe, 40 days up on the mountain to receive the Ten Commandments from God. God, with his finger, writes on the stone tablets the Ten Commandments. Moses comes down off the mountain and sees the people living in sin by having created a statue of the wicked god Baal, or Bel, as some pronounce it. And so Moses, you know, requires the people to get rid of that idol. In anger and in sadness, he smashes the stones on rocks. And so Moses goes back up to the mountain and receives a second set of stone tablets from God with the Ten Commandments written on them again. But this time, Moses is not spelling out the Ten Commandments word for word. Now, they are written out word for word in the stone tablets. But what Moses is doing is giving the people the gist. What's the spirit behind the Ten Commandments? And so he says in verse 12 of Deuteronomy 10, And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God ask of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in obedience to him, to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and to observe the Lord's commandments and decrees that I'm giving you today for your own good, for your own good. But then Moses, like, okay, so God's giving you these commandments. He wants you to obey him, love him, fear him, serve him. Who is God? So he says, to the Lord your God belong the heavens. He's the one that owns everything. Even the highest heavens, the earth, and everything in it belongs to God. And yet the Lord is, that is, I am, has set his affection on your ancestors and loved them. For so, he's chosen you as the people of Israel. So Moses says, circumcise your hearts and do not be stiff-necked any longer, for I am your God, is God of gods and Lord of lords, the great and awesome one who doesn't take bribes, he doesn't show partiality. You know, and this is a huge thing that Moses is saying to the people because they lived in the Egyptian culture. And coming out 360 years in the Egyptian culture, they believed the gods could be bought off. And kind of, we do the same today. We believe God can be bought off if we go to Mass, if we read our Bibles, if we pray the rosary, whatever it is, we can make God happy. We don't call it buying off God. We call it making God happy, as if God needs to be made happy. God is happy within himself. But but Moses shows God can't be bought off. He doesn't show partiality. He doesn't accept bribes. And so in verse 18, which is where we're going to focus today, Moses said, God, or he defends the cause of the fatherless and the widow. We see that throughout the scriptures. He defends the cause of the fatherless and widow and loves, gnosis, and loves the foreigner residing among you, giving them food and clothing. So this is the gist, the very foundation, the core of what we're saying today, that God, when Moses is explaining to the people of Israel who God is, Moses says God loves the foreigner residing among you, that is the immigrant, giving them food and clothing. And then in verse 19, Moses says, and you are to love those who are foreigners, for you yourselves were foreigners in Egypt. So Moses gets down to the heart of the matter and tells the people of Israel, don't reject the immigrants among you. Remember, you as a people, as a nation of Israel, are a nation of immigrants. We talk about that in the United States a lot, that we're a nation of immigrants, and we are. But not only us, but Israel is a nation of immigrants because they started out as a nation as immigrants in Egypt. They had migrated from the Promised Land into Egypt and then returned back to the Promised Land 360 years later, 400 years later. I think, yeah. So Moses is reminding them of their history and saying, God loves the foreigner among you. Now, why would we as Christians say that? Because we understand that that foreigner, that stranger coming into our land, is the very image of God. And so with that in mind, Moses reminds the people of Israel that their whole job as a nation is to love that foreigner among them. And notice, he doesn't just talk about, you know, love in a vague sort of way, but he names it that God feeds them and clothes them. Once they get to the nation of Israel, once they are within the borders, God makes sure they are fed and clothed. So it's kind of like John the Baptist. John the Baptist doesn't just tell people, live a life of justice, but he's like, here's how you do it. In the practical, day-to-day stuff, you have two coats, and your neighbor has no coat, share one of your coats with your neighbors. Social justice is a very practical, day-to-day, ordinary thing. It's not, social justice is not all the hype that you see in the media and on the news. It's just the ordinary, everyday stuff that is within all of our reach. Now, I want you to note in verse 17 that God does not love one nation over another. Did you hear me on that? God does not love one nation over another. It says, "For the Lord your God," Moses says, "is God of gods and Lord of lords, the great God, mighty and awesome. He shows no partiality and accepts no bribes." Yes, God set his affection on the nation of Israel, but he doesn't show partiality just because they're the nation of Israel. In fact, we see several times where God, quote, so to speak, turns his back on Israel because of their sin. God, of course, continues to love Israel, but he withdrew his blessing several times from them. Why? Because God doesn't show partiality. And Jesus ran into that attitude in his day where the people, well, we're Jews. Look at us. And Jesus is like, well, you know, God loves all people. It's, you're not in this, you know, sort of bubble where you, just because you're the nation of Israel, you have this out or this ace card up your sleeve. God, yes, chose the nation of Israel through which to bring the Messiah, the Savior of the world. So true. We see here that God chose them here in this passage, but God set his affection on them. But again, Moses balances out by saying he doesn't show partiality. Now, God, and we've got to get this right, God loves his creation. And we take away the invisible borders, because borders are just a mental construct. They don't actually exist, okay? When I drive into the state of Washington from Oregon, I see a sign that says entering Washington State. But I don't actually see the border. If there was no sign there, I would not have known I drove into another state. Why? Because the border doesn't actually exist. Okay. It's just a mental construct that humans have agreed that there's this invisible line that separates policies and laws and so on. But the fact is, take away these invisible borders, humans are humans, and all humans are made in the image of God. And so this motto that you hear a lot, especially in America, God bless America, is wrought with the idea that America is special. This American exceptionalism you hear about. America is not exceptional. America is not special. Now, has America done good things? Sure. It's quite fascinating that a nation has created a space where all people and languages can come together as one nation. That's fascinating, the way America has done it. And America has done a lot of good things in the world, despite all the negative things, but that's with any nation. But this God bless America is wrought with that idea that America is special, it's exceptional, it's not. All nations, all peoples are loved by God. And God, without partiality, punishes all nations and all peoples when it becomes necessary for correction. But underlying the desire to keep America great, and we hear this a lot, and it's not, by the way, it's not just a conservative thing, okay, or a MAGA thing. This keeping America great, the liberals and progressives are saying it too, just in a different way and with a different ideal and a different outcome. But what this desire to keep America great really is the desire for comfort and avoidance of suffering. What we're really saying is, I want America to be great. What we're really saying underneath it all is, I want to be in a place where I don't have to feel suffering and where I can be comfortable. But we have to realize from this passage, God's love is towards every single human, because every person on the planet and who has ever lived is created in God's image. So I'm going to say something radical. Are you ready for this? Yes, God loves those who are part of the Taliban. God does not love their actions. He doesn't love their violent actions and their controlling ways and their murderous ways. God doesn't like that. But as a creation of His, as a person, He loves them. And God desires their salvation too. God longs for the members of the Taliban to return to Him. And keep in mind that Jesus commanded us to do what? Jesus commanded us to love our enemies. Yes. Each person who crosses the border, be it the southern border of the United States or wherever, each person who crosses the border is the very image of God. They are your brother and your sister. They are someone who you very well may be spending eternity with, so you might as well get started on that long and permanent relationship now. Now, it's interesting to me that here in Deuteronomy chapter 10, that this section starts with loving and fearing God. Yes, perfect love casts out fear, but in love, there is a fear that exists, that is the fear of offending the beloved, the fear of hurting the beloved, the fear of failing to love the beloved perfectly. Do you want to love God? You love God in the marginalized, the poor, the orphan, that is, those in foster care, the immigrant, and the refugee. You love them, then you're loving God. You don't love them, then you're not loving God. Because they are Jesus appearing to us. So the immigrants and the refugees, the asylum seekers, all of them, they are Jesus appearing to us. Just ask Mother Teresa. The other day, I was made aware that the state of Texas had bused a family from South America who had crossed the border and bused them to Portland. It happens frequently, actually. A lot of people arrive from the state of Texas into Portland, and they just drop them off at our office door. It was late on a Friday, and everyone was closed. My organization was asking me, do something about this family. There was a baby, there was children, there was the parents, and it was late on a Friday, and as I said, everybody was closed, all the resources were closed for the weekend, all the shelters were full, and so on. And it was put on me to figure out what to do with this family, again, who had this baby. I finally found funds to put them in a hotel, and as I was driving across the city to get them to the hotel, I was kind of grumbling inside, wishing I could just get home and get the weekend started because I was very tired from the week. Then, suddenly the Holy Spirit reminded me that this was Jesus sitting in the car with me. And I said a little prayer. I said, Jesus, I get it. You are sitting in the car with me. I love you. So I turned on a Spanish radio station and jammed to some Spanish tunes with the family. And they were smiling and laughing all of a sudden. My brothers and sisters who have endured so much to get to the United States were smiling and laughing. And God was smiling and laughing with us. You see, it's in those ordinary moments where we learn to love God. I don't care which side of the political spectrum you find yourself. You are commanded by God Himself, the Creator Himself, to love and care for the immigrant and the refugee. This is justice. I want to give you some facts from various studies I've looked at and speakers I've heard from that state that there are currently about 300 million refugees in camps right now. In those camps, there is no food, and so the people have to go out on the streets of a strange city and beg for food. I've met people who came across the southern border of the United States who the week before they got here had been buried in rubble from bombs going off in their country. Many were raped along the way. I talked to one woman who the guerrilla soldiers in one of the South American countries had taken her children from her, raped her repeatedly, and then returned the children and sent her on her way. Many have had children die and loved ones and husbands die along the way. Many walked with their children through war zones and jungle on the way. And many women are here in America alone with children because the husbands were killed along the way. I met one woman who was here alone with children because her husband got gunned down by the Taliban on the way to the United States. Over and over again, the prophets of the Old Testament told Israel that they were going into exile or being punished as a nation in some way because, among other things, of their mistreatment of the immigrants and refugees. They were commanded over and over again and reminded by the prophets to treat the immigrant as their own. Their leftovers and parts of their fields were to be given to the poor and the immigrant. And by the way, the term immigrant, before we go on, is a broad term. So let me do some defining. Maybe I should have done this at the beginning, but that's okay. We'll throw it here in the middle. The word immigrant is a broad term that includes several groups of people. So it could include migrants. Migrants are people who are coming here because they're in poverty. Migrants could also just be people who voluntarily come because they're just, you know, for whatever reason, they just voluntarily leave their country and come. But they can also be migrants who are forced out of poverty and war to come here. They could be refugees. An immigrant can be a refugee, somebody who had to flee for their lives from their country, or it could be asylum seekers, people who have no legal means or way to leave their country, but is absolutely necessary for their lives and their children's sake. And so they come to a country, and then once they get there, seek asylum. So the term immigrant is a broad term. But notice what some of the scriptures tell us. In Exodus 23:9, God says to the people of Israel, "Do not oppress a foreigner." Now, when I say he says to the people of Israel, that's in the context of the passage, but it applies to all of us. "Do not oppress a foreigner. You yourselves know how it feels to be foreigners, because you were foreigners in Egypt." Matthew 25:35, "I was a stranger, and you invited me in." Now, we talked about that a few episodes ago, about that general judgment that Jesus talks about in Matthew 25. Jesus says, I'm blessing you with eternal life because I was a stranger and you invited me in. Leviticus 19:34, "The foreigner residing among you must be treated as your native born." The foreigner residing among you must be treated as your native born. Did you hear that? The foreigner among you, God says to us, must be treated as your native born. "Love them as yourself, for you were foreigners in Egypt. I am the Lord your God." In other words, this is my authoritative stamp, is by sharing my name with you. There's this false misconception that we have all these illegal immigrants coming into the United States now, and we're trying to go back to the glory days of the Italian immigrants and the other European immigrants who came in legally, right, through Ellis Island. Actually, I discovered that that's not accurate. I discovered in reading some studies and in reading some historical writings that a lot of the immigrants in the past came here undocumented. A lot of the Italian and other European immigrants were undocumented when they came here. So, yeah, we need to clear up that narrative a little bit. And notice that God doesn't say, "Love and treat as your native born the legally documented foreigner." just the foreigner, period. Now, that's some scriptural text. What does the Catholic Church teach on this? I'm glad you ask, because the Catholic Church has very clear instructions on our relationship and to the immigrants coming into our country. And this comes from the pastoral letter, Welcoming the Stranger Among Us, Unity and Diversity. So again, it's the pastoral letter from the United States Catholic Bishops. You can find it on their website. I'm not going to read it. It's a long text. If you want the full text, go on the U.S. Catholic Conference of Catholic Bishops website, USCCB, and look up the pastoral letter, Welcoming the Stranger Among Us, Unity and Diversity. But there's three principles that I want to name today and mention briefly, three principles on church social teaching on immigration. So the first principle is that people have a right to migrate to sustain their lives and their families' lives. So people have a right to migrate to sustain their lives and their families' lives. We mentioned that in studying the previous encyclicals that we finished up, but that we've studied for quite a long time now. But people have a right to migrate. They have a right to move. By the way, there would be no, again, United States of America without migration. There would be no some of the African countries without migration. In other words, there would be no nation that exists without migration. Okay? So people have a right to migrate to sustain their lives and their families' lives. But the second principle is this: a country has a right to regulate its borders and control immigration. Now, these would seem to be at odds with each other. You would think these two principles would be opposing. That people have a right to migrate to sustain their lives, a country has a right to regulate its borders and control immigration. But the Catholic Church, in its beautiful wisdom, has a third principle that balances it all out, that says a country must regulate its borders with justice and mercy. So this balances out the first two. People have a right to migrate. Country has a right to control the immigration. But a country has to do that regulation of immigrants with justice and mercy. If it was just justice, then send them all back. If it's just mercy, let them all in. But if it's justice and mercy, then we wisely discern who should come in. But we don't keep people from coming in, you see. So we have to use wisdom. And as we've said in the past, that true social justice has both wisdom and love built into it to balance each other out. So the overall writing principle of church teaching on immigration is that no human is illegal. That all people have the basic rights given by God, not given by the government. That all people have a right to live safely. All people have a right to thrive. All people have a right to food and housing. And that right is given to us by God Himself, not by the government. The government of a nation does not have the authority to determine those rights. Those rights, as the United States Declaration or Bill of Rights says, that they're endowed by the Creator with these inalienable rights, not by the government. Therefore, you and I, to conclude, you and I must ensure that undocumented brothers and sisters have food, housing, education, and just work. Because they've left tragic situations that I hope you and I never have to deal with. And they're here at the hands of mercy, hoping for a better life. And they really are Jesus staring you in the face. Have you ever wondered what God's will is for your life? You know, when I was younger, I worried about that a lot more than I do now, because I pray to God that I figure it out by now, and I'm starting to understand that God's will for my life is not a thing, but it's daily obedience, is really what God's will is. But for some, it drives them crazy trying to figure out what God's will is for their life. Well, God's will is not an isolated thing. God's will for your life encompasses a lot of things. And one of the major things is loving the stranger among us. I do know that it is God's will that we love the immigrants, the asylum seekers, the refugees among us. And may we live in God's will and love the stranger among us as we love the immigrant right where we are.
You've been listening to Common Sense on Social Justice with your host, Michael Davis. A common sense and fresh perspective to creating justice where you are. Share your comments and questions with Michael by emailing sjcommonsense@gmail.com. That's sjcommonsense@gmail.com.
If you enjoyed this podcast, please consider sharing it with a friend. You can support this vital mission of evangelization through materdayradio.com or the Hail Mary Media app. And thank you for helping us lead souls to Jesus through the Blessed Virgin Mary.